Take your Bibles out for me. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm starting a series this morning called The War Against Carnality. Someone say the war against carnality.
The war against carnality.
Say the war against carnality.
The war against
carnality. Say it one more time. The war.
The war.
Say the war.
The war.
The war.
The war.
The battle, the war, the fight, the conflict against carnality. Why pick that message to start the era of the presence? I mean, we've done the era of order, haven't we, the first 3 months of the year. Now we're in the era of the presence. And I really thought God would be speaking to me to preach about glory clouds and oil and gold dust and feathers and angels and the glory realm and dimensions. But you know, God speaks to me and says, I want you to teach my people to hate carnality. Because carnality is one of the, if not the most important thing that drives away the presence of God. Somebody say carnality.
Carnality.
Say carnality.
Carnality.
Say carnality.
Carnality.
The war. The war. Say the war. The war against carnality. The time has come for God's people to go to the next level. The time has come for God's people to move to another place. The time has come, the Bible says, where creation is waiting for the manifestation. It is groaning, it says. It is in agony. Creation is literally contorted in pain, like a woman in labor, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But there are certain things that have held up the process, and this is one of them. Hello, somebody. It's quiet. Hello. Hello. Uh-huh. I was listening to the recording of the Passover threshing floor when prophecies were coming. Everybody was shouting. Now, I want to teach you how to walk in your prophecies. I want to teach you how to possess the land. We'll come to my text in a second, but you know, let me start by giving you a bit of a backdrop, and then we'll read the text in a second. Now, today's message in the series is titled "Destroying the Myth of the Carnal Christian." Say, "Destroying the myth,
destroying
of the carnal Christian." Say, "Destroying the myth of the carnal Christian." Destroying the myth of the carnal Christian. Now, let's go to the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, most times you preach and you take a portion of scripture and you say what it means. I'm going to start by taking a portion of scripture and telling you what it does not mean. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, this scripture, about 20 years ago or so, there's many revelations that jumped into the body of Christ based on one verse of scripture, and we just ran with, amen. And we just took to extremes because we liked the way they sound. And very, 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 very extremely rarely, if ever, are these verses that take the demands of God on us to the extreme. No, they're always verses that take our laxity and our levity in the things of God to an extreme. We rarely ever make a mistake where we place higher demands on ourselves, do we? Most mistakes are usually where we give ourselves more leeway. For instance, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that we had to prove the will of God, the good, perfect, and acceptable will. And some preacher woke up one day and said, there are three wills of God. There's God's good will, there's God's perfect will, there's God's acceptable will. So you know what? Even if I don't go for the perfect will, I can just, shut up, that's a lie. The Bible says God is good. In him there is no shadow of variableness. God is absolute. Someone say absolute.
Absolute.
God is not a spectrum. Amen. It's quiet. Say, God is not a spectrum.
God is, not a spectrum.
God is a personality.
God is a personality.
He's an absolute God. He is perfect light. That will there is one will. It is both good, perfect, and acceptable. And that is why when you and I read the Bible and when we study to preach or to teach or for ourselves, we must be very careful, because the Bible says no scripture is of private interpretation. Now, what that literally means is no scripture can be interpreted within the confines of your experience, but also never take one scripture on its own privately and build a doctrine on it. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, that applies to scripture as well. For you to come up with a doctrine, there should be at least two and preferably three scriptures. Draw a straight line, plot one point, plot the second point, draw the line and test the line with a third point. And if the third point falls on the line, then you know you have a straight line. But if it doesn't, then redraw it. Hello. The Bible says we must interpret scripture with scripture. That's why it is dangerous to read portions of the Bible in isolation. The Bible is a book. It is itself the expression of the mind of God. You must study portions of the Bible within the context. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But they are, see, he says in them, you think by themselves. You think just by reading the scripture, you get eternal. He says, no, not so. He says, the only way you get eternal life is the scriptures testify of me. And when you can trace their testimony to me, when you can deduce, didact, and expand how they directly relate to me, then you have eternal life. So you must study the Bible with your understanding of God in view. And here lies the problem in the 21st century charismatic church. We don't talk about the character of God any longer. Most Christians have never heard a sermon talking about what God is and what he is not. They never heard he's holy, never heard he's pure, never heard he's light, never heard he's love, never heard he's a consuming fire. All they've heard is he's a blesser. Thank you very much. He is a blesser, but he's so much more. So you must have an understanding of the canon, the entire canon of scripture as a whole. You must understand a theme running from Genesis to Revelation. You must understand where it starts, where it ends, all the twists and turns it takes. Then you can jump in the middle and lift a verse and understand the context in which you are in. The same way this doctrine emanated that there are three types of people. There is the unbeliever. There is the spiritual Christian, and in the middle, there's the carnal Christian. Somebody say the middle ground. We invented the middle ground. And this doctrine is just as demonic as the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. That says when you die in sin, you don't go straight to hell. You go to a place called purgatory. And if you behave yourself there, then you'll make it into heaven. And many people, many Christians are on their way express first class to hell. Believing there's a bathroom comfort stop along the way. Believing that there's services where they can buy some petrol. There's no such thing as middle ground. You read your entire Bible. Jesus says, if you're not with us, hello, you're against us. He that does not gather, scatters. There's no middle ground in scripture. The middle ground belongs to the other side. Hello. Somebody say the middle ground belongs to the other side. And why is it so important that you be not carnal? Because the Bible says the carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. They are foolishness to him. Lord, help me break this down. Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There are dimensions of God that must be shown. Jesus tells the disciples, he says, see, I speak to everybody else in parabolas, I mean in parables, in mysteries, because it is not given to them to understand the mysterion, the mystery, the initiated understanding. A mysterion means something that has been concealed for access to a few people, so only them can understand. He says, but to them I speak in parables, but to you, to the initiated, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When he resurrected, he said, I give unto you keys to the kingdom. Before he told Peter, he said, upon this rock. Now, let's back this way up. Now, Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say that I am? They say, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, blah, blah, blah. Just okay, that's what they say. Who do you say I am? They go, Like many of us do. Never really thought about that before. That's a good question. And Peter gets up, zapped by a lightning bolt. And he says, I understand that you are the Messiah. You are the Christos, the Son of the living God. Jesus tells Peter, you could not have seen, no amount of study of scripture could have revealed that to you. No amount of praying and fasting, no amount of spirituality, no amount of holiness, no amount of church going, no amount of Christianese could have revealed some things to you. It had to have come directly from my Father who is in heaven. But how did he get the revelation? I'll tell you in a second. Thank you. How did he get it? How does the Father reveal things to you? The Bible says no man understands the thing of a man except the spirit of a man. In the same vein, no man understands the things of God except by the Spirit of God. But the same Bible says in Galatians that the flesh lost against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they can never see eye to eye. They're in constant combat. There is no mutual point of agreement between flesh and spirit. They're mutually exclusive. So Jesus tells Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. My Father is in heaven. He says, upon this rock, what rock? Upon the revelation of who I am. Upon the knowledge of who that I am. Upon what you have just said, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. Now, there's two Greek words for church in the Bible. Amen? Amen? Amen. I hear revivers been looking into this recently. You guys are going deep. Amen? There's a word called kokarion. Someone say kokarion. And there's a word called ecclesia. Amen. Did I get that right? Because I keep mixing that pronunciation up. Kuriakos. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Now, the kuriakos means after the pattern of the Lord. It means like the Lord. Amen. It means like the Lord. It means Christian, literally. It means it looks like God. It means it's the expression of God. That's the first dimension of what the church is called to be. We're called to be God's expression. And when we have fulfilled that definition, then we graduate to the ecclesia, which is the committee of God's senate on the earth. Hello? Hello? If you have not first been a kuriakos, you cannot be an ecclesia. And as the name of your church signifies, we're not called just to stay. See, that's how majority of churches live and die. Striving to look like Jesus. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. For a saint is just a sinner, that's a lie. A saint and a sinner are not the same thing. A saint is not just a sinner. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. I'm no longer just a sinner who fell. Nah. I didn't just fall down and get up. I died, I was buried, and I resurrected. Clap. I died. I spent 3 days in the grave with him. I have a new resurrected life. I'm not just a sinner who, sorry, Donnie, I love you, but. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build not my kuriakos, but my ecclesia. Hello. If you want to graduate from the battle to look like God to the battle to enforce his dominion, it starts upon the rock of who he is and understanding what he is, revelation. And it says, and then I will give to you the keys. Someone said the keys. The word keys means the access, the instruments of access, the kingdom concept. Say concepts. Say, some of you are frowning. Is it okay? Is it a good Sunday? The kingdom concepts. The kingdom concepts. Light is the access, insight, revelation, understanding. The dimensions of revelation, the Maroko Sibayata, the Apocrypha. Hello. Hidden. The Mysterion. There's a word I'm looking for now. Help me, somebody. It's a Greek word for revelation. I've missed it. It's just gone straight over my head. The help me, Bible scholars, help me. The Apocalypto. Someone say Apocalypto. It means something that has been shut for a time. The only difference between you, Peter, Paul, Smith, Wigglesworth, Catherine, Coleman, is not because you're any more consecrated than they are. in any more noise than they are. The reason why the Bible says in the last days things will happen that have never happened before is because in the last days a people will rise who press into a certain dimension of intimacy and revelation. God is about to unveil some things that were kept for a time. The Bible says there is a cloud of witnesses that could not have been made perfect without us. Because there's some things we were walking by virtue of revelation. They never got a chance to. But not while you are carnal. Someone say carnal. Not while you're carnal. What does the word carnal mean? Hello. Talk to me, somebody. What does the word carnal mean? What does it mean to be carnal? What does it mean to be carnal? Well, carnal is a word in Greek called sarkikos. Say sarkikos. It means having the nature of the flesh under the control of the animal. Whoosh, that's deep right there. Of the animal appetites. You know why scientists say there's two classes, plants and animals, and we fall under animals? Because the normal human being is not much different from an animal. That's why Charles Darwin told you came from a monkey. Because sometimes you talk, think, and act like dot, 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 fill in the blank. Hello. If the sum total of your behavior is no different from that of an animal, you react to attack, right? You fight. You react to situations in fear. You flight. You are hungry, you eat. Can I go here? You're horny, you can't say no. You live, you roam, and you die. How different are you from a zoo? Hello? Hello? It says, how many of you saw my Facebook post this morning? I said, bring your bulletproof vest. Read Facebook on your way to church every Sunday. Go to my page and check what I put. You'll know whether I'm in a good mood or a bad mood. I said, come on. Chrissy, did you see it? I said, bring the bulletproof vest. It's about to get rowdy. Under the control of the animal appetite, governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God. Having its seat in the animal nature or aroused by the animal nature. Human with the included idea of depravity pertaining to the flesh related to birth or genealogy. It comes from a root word. Somebody say root word. Meaning sarx, or we call sarx, which means flesh, sensuous. What does it mean to be carnal? Now, the reason why this idea of the carnal Christian gained credence is because we Christians like to place or like to interpret scripture in light of our experience rather than conforming our experience to the demands of scripture. Now, when you study the Bible, you must understand that there are two levels at which you can look at the Bible. Now, the teacher, the teaching mantle, the fivefold teacher, preaches or studies or looks at the Bible from the angle of position. Say position. Position. Say position. Position. Say position. Position. Say position. Position. Who you are in Christ. What you are in Christ. The prophet looks at it from the angle of your practical reality. Where are you in the spectrum? Amen. Amen. Hello.
Hi.
Now, you must hold yourself to the standard of Scripture. A prophet comes to tell you where you are. But it doesn't mean that you should celebrate where you are. In fact, when a prophet comes to tell you where you are, it's usually with a whip. To say, get out of here. A teacher's job is to show you where you are positioned in Christ. And you must strive. Say strive.
Strive.
You must strive. You must war. You must wage war. To make sure that your life conforms with your heavenly position, not your earthly reality. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. But Pastor, I don't feel new. Well, the same Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. And what do you do with that promise? You get on your knees and you pray, right? When sickness comes into your body, you tell it, no, 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 by his stripes I'm healed. The same way when that old nature rears its head, you tell it, I'm a new creature. But you must work it out. You must enforce it. It's a check. You must cash it. So somebody woke up one day and said, well, most Christians are carnal anyway. True. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you renewed. Renewed means retransformed. It means replenished. It means to be rebirthed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. Someone say renewing of your mind. So it's a process. Someone say process. It's a process. Renewing your mind is a process. It takes time. But somebody will come and say, well, you know what? Since it's a process, so let's just make an extra category. No, there's no extra category. So there's a carnal Christian, one whose mind is not renewed, one who is just carnal, who thinks like everybody else thinks, does like everybody else does. Hello, that's not a Christian. They might be a believer, but they're not a Christian. Because it's an enigma to call someone a carnal Christian. Because the word Christian means like Christ. It means image of Christ. Imago Deo. The image of God. Hello. There's a Hebrew word called the sons of God in English. In Hebrew, it's B'nai Elohim. Hello. It's called B'nai Elohim. Every time you see the sons of God in the Bible, it's usually in the Old Testament, it's usually B'nai Elohim. It means a direct descendant of God. It's most of the time used about the angels. It was used about Adam before he fell. Adam was the first B'nai Elohim in the human race. Christ was the second B'nai Elohim of the human race. But the Bible says you and I are now Christ's. We are Christ's, comma S. When you got born again, you became a B'nai Elohim. You became a direct descendant of God. That's why you were called born again. It means born from heaven. It means your earthly nature died. You were taken back into the spiritual matrix, back to the heavenly plane, and reproduced as a living soul, like a fresh breed. The Bible calls us a new creation. We're a new breed. So it is now an enigma for this new creation, this new species, that even angels can't understand. The Bible says we will judge angels. We are even now higher than angels in our new state as B'nai Elohims. How can that new creature be carnal? Hello? No. It can't be. But Pastor, I think carnally. Yes, I know. It's an explanation. Paul says, I die daily. Hello? But he was alive the next day. So what died? I says, put off the old man and put on the new man. You are a twin. Hello. You are a twin. And you must murder your twin on a daily basis. I give you license to commit murder, not in the human plane. Please don't kill any walking human being. The person you must kill lives on the inside of you. Hello. I'm going to say my pastor said, I did not say, you must take a knife to your inside on a daily basis and murder your twin afresh because he is the carnal one. You share the same body, the same mind, the same mouth, the same eyes, the same legs, the same hands, the same faculties, but you're two different people. And every once in a while, he seizes control and he talks through you and walks through you and acts through you and behaves through you. And then when you get control back, you say, what have I done? You didn't do it. He did. Hello? How many of you have done something in anger, calmed down, and thought, Lord Jesus, have mercy? How many of you have walked away from a bed of fornication and thinking, what was I even thinking? It's not like he was that fine. It's not like she weighed nothing. Hello? Maybe you feel like you're possessed half the time. Because you are. Not by a demon. By your old man. The man that should have been crucified on Calvary. Problem is he gets off every day. God's mercies to him are new every morning. Hello? Every day he's untied from the cross. And he says, when you wake up in the morning, he says, hello. I'm back. It's me. And don't pour tea and coffee for him. Don't pour a box of Wheatos. Or is it, what's it called now? Wheatos, yes, for him. Don't give him Rice Krispies and Cocoa Pops. Amen. Don't even offer him skimmed milk. Tie him to the altar. Don't care if he screams. Don't say carnal. Okay, let me make the case against the carnal Christians, and I'll come back to dealing with carnality. Now let's look at the Old Testament type and shadow of the church. The Bible says in the New Testament that Israel was the ecclesia in the wilderness. Someone said ecclesia. So they were the church. They were the first manifestation of the ecclesia. They were the first manifestation of the Kyriakos, and also the first manifestation of the ecclesia. Now, there were a people who were, now every single Israelite who ever came out of Egypt was born in Egypt. Amen? Amen? Like Adam was born outside the world system, and by an act enslaved himself into the world system. So Israel was born out of the world system, but entered as Jacob into Egypt. And for a season, everything was nice and sweet and handy. Why did God take them there? Because the same way God told Abraham to offer up Isaac as a symbol, as a prophetic type of the sacrifice of Jesus, God throughout the Old Testament was giving us clues. God was moving people to do things and say things and act in certain ways to provide the pattern for redemption. Say the pattern for redemption. So Israel was God's prophetic type in the Old Testament. God said, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. I want to use you to show the world how to approach me. That's why he brought to them the Ark of Noah, which was a symbol of God saving something in the middle of depravity. And I'm going to preach on that in a few weeks. So that when he destroys the world system around, whatever was conserved in the Ark can come out and repopulate the world. Hello. 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 That's why Abraham was told to leave his father's house. And he took Lot with him. And until Lot left him, God could not tell him, look up and lift up your eyes. Hello? That's why Esau and Jacob come. And that's why even Cain and Abel happened. The man of the spirit, the man of the flesh. One offered up a perfect sacrifice to God by instruction. The other one offered what he wanted to offer up in spite of instruction. And the Bible says that the carnal man killed the spiritual man, but the blood of the spiritual man's voice cried out to God. Hello. Bible says he being dead yet speaks. Talk to me, somebody. That's why Moses put down a rod, became a snake. Swallowed up snakes, came back to a rod. That's why God told Moses, put up a serpent in the wilderness. And he said, oh, who looked to the serpent? And the Bible says, even as the serpent was raised in the wilderness, the symbol of sin, the big sin was raised. Oh, who looked to that serpent became free from the bites of the small serpent. The same way when Christ became sin and took on the sin nature and he was raised up, all who looked to him become free from, hello. So God moves a man called Jacob to enter Egypt. And his entry is wonderful. Pharaoh gives him an entire city to himself and his children. Makes things beautiful for him, like Eve and the serpent. Hello. And after a short while, the Bible says the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. And another Pharaoh arose. And now Israel became slaves in Egypt. The same way once the apple was eaten, man went to become a slave to Satan. But God promised deliverance. Amen. God said, I will send you a deliverer. Notice how similar the childhoods of Jesus and Moses are. Because when God told the serpent in the wilderness, the seed of the woman, not a seed of a woman, the seed. It was a specific word. Satan understood exactly what God was talking about. Eve did too. That's why when Cain was born, she said, I have received the man of the Lord. She was saying, God, is this the man you promised? Is this the one? Could this just be the one? Of course, we know he wasn't the one. And in the time of Moses' birth, the rumblings in the realm of the spirit. Now, the Bible says, Moses tells the Israelites, God will raise me up a prophet like unto me, talking about Jesus. Moses is the Old Testament manifestation of Christ. In the light of this revelation, of this prophetic type. And the spirit realm understands someone is coming. So what do they do? They say, let's wipe out an entire generation. It's exactly what happened in the time of Jesus, wasn't it? Let's wipe out an entire generation. Let's kill all the boys. And just like Jesus, God hides Moses in the middle of the system that's looking to kill him. And brings him back out. Now we all know the story how Moses stumbled into his destiny, made a few mistakes. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. Notice how 40 is 40. You can do it in 40 days or 40 years. Come on, somebody. Hello. Hello. If you go, the Bible says the Spirit of God drove Jesus to the wilderness where he fasted 40 days. God was trying to get Moses' attention. Moses wouldn't listen. It's okay, fine. You know, hello. Someone said you can do it the simple way or the hard way. I prefer the simple way myself. Amen. I prefer this. If God has you in his sight, you will be what he's called you to be. Hello. Say you will be what he has called you to be. As long as you have Olumide Israeli Siyabe as your pastor. Kai. I will kneel down in my bedroom and I will sign you over. Some of you don't know the prayers I pray sometimes. God, by any means necessary. I said, God, don't kill them. Don't do anything that can't be reversed. Don't paralyze them. But anything that Christy, you too. You're in God's hands now. I said, God, whatever you need to do, keep her alive, keep her healthy. Don't do anything that can't be undone. But within those confines, hello, you will serve God. As for me and my house. Come on. I said, as for me and my house. And you can't even run anywhere, you're stuck. Amen. You're just as far from your destination as from where you came from. You might as well stick it out. Amen. And if God wants you here, he will chase you like a hound. And if you run away, wherever you go to, you start the process again. Because the covenant doesn't end if you leave. I still say, God, follow them. God, I release them, but follow them. Because God needs a people in the earth. And we will be those people. So Moses comes back one day, has encounters with God like Jesus in the wilderness. Moses comes to his people to tell them, God has come to deliver you. And like Jesus, they say, who are you? Excuse me. Who are you? Hello? My friend, move away. Don't we know you? Mary's son, the carpenter boy. Moses, the one who ran away after killing someone. My friend, get out. And over a span of time, many of us think the 10 plagues in Egypt happened once a day. No. It was over, at least, scholars believe, between 1 to 3, 4, 5 years. Just like Jesus. Moses was doing miracles, experiencing the power of God. Someone say, Shande Day. Mande Day. Say, Candidios. Say, Sukrundaya. Aha. And nothing was happening. Jesus said, today and tomorrow I do miracles and cures. But on the third day, say third day, I'll be perfected. When the third day came, and God dealt, we all know God dealt with Pharaoh, right? And Israel passed through a cloud. They passed through fire. And they passed through the blood, the Red Sea, amen. Amen. They had a blood bath. They came out through the blood. Someone say through the blood. And the same blood that was, basically they were baptized in the blood. Basically their iniquity was washed in a figure of speech. Through that Red Sea, and they came out on the other side justified to take the land. Now, in between was a period called the wilderness. God tells them, he said, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me show you the entire purpose of Israel's wilderness. It might shock some of you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice, wildernesses always seem to come in cycles of 40, don't they? Because the purpose of a wilderness is to bring a closure to the season of carnality in your life. Hello? Remember when we spoke about fasting? We said fasting humbles your soul, puts you in a state of spirituality. Jesus needed only 40 days to kill his flesh. Moses needed 40 years. And that's why even though he was angry with Israel, he couldn't disown them. Because God kept reminding him, it took you 40 years. Give them 40 years too. Hello. Every leader has those days. But God says, remember, okay, God is okay. Say, God, how dare they? God says, remember, okay, it's okay. You remember all this 40 years to prove you, sir, to prove you, to humble you, to know what was in your heart. Hello. Whether you would keep his commandment or not. What is the purpose of the wilderness? To humble you. To prove you. To know whether you would keep his commandments or not. Some of you are thinking, it's a test. Don't say test. It's a test. It's a purification process. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. First, what's God saying here? I wanted to kill your animal appetite. Food here is not just food, it's symbolic. I wanted to destroy the part of you that responds to earthly nourishment. Hello? I'm hungry, I want to eat. I want to kill that part. I'm angry, I want to respond. I want to kill that part. I'm offended, I won't say hi, I want to kill that part. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, I will order, see, but the Bible, Jesus said, Lord, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish it. Meaning what nourishes me, what strengthens me, what gives me the strength to carry on with life is not what I can get on the earth, it is what my Father desires of me. Clap there, somebody. Let me say that again. My will, my food, my feel, my go on, my inspiration is not what I can receive. Hello. Not what I can get. But whether or not my Father is pleased. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Look at verse 4. Your clothes did not grow old. Your feet did not swell. You will consider in your heart as a man chastises, meaning as a man corrects, beats, smacks his son, so the Lord your God smacks you. Is this making sense? Hello? As you take your child and put on your side, and in England you have to do reasonable, you know, force. You have to tap them with a finger. When I was growing up, it wasn't like that. Amen. When I was growing up, your parents gave you five-fold ministry. Five-fist-fold slap ministry. Therefore, you will keep the commandments of the Lord to walk in his ways and to fear him. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. This is the key. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Say good land. Say this next season is a good land. A land of brooks out of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. Mikasa. Someone say Mikasa. My house, I'm bringing you into heaven. A land where you will eat bread without scarceness, prosperity. You will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron. Let me go back. Pomegranate, olive oil, and honey. I wish I could go into this. Gift of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace. A land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you may dig brass. Stones are iron, meaning the way stones are around, iron. Come on, somebody. When you have eaten and are full, you will bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Somebody say, thy herds and thy flocks multiply. When God blesses you, when you're walking in your destiny, when everything is happening, when you've got your boo on your arm. Amen. You're 6 feet, six pack, six figures. When you're the CEO of your own company, when you're the GO of your own ministry, when your bank account is speaking in tongues and you like the interpretation. When your shadow is healing the sick. When a word from you is raising the dead. When you're the man of God. It's my God, amen. When you're the man of God. When everything's just happening. When you're walking in the season of rest. When it's heaven on earth. When you are literally the ecclesia in reality. When your word is law. When you rule by decree. When like Pastor Patience prophesied, you're holding court with kings and prime ministers and mayors and school governors. When that season has come. When your herds and flocks multiply. And when your silver and gold is multiplied. When all that you have is multiplied. You know the problem? All will be multiplied. All. Including your issues. Mm-hmm. When all that you have, when your anger, your temper, your sexual immorality, your promiscuity, your penchant for masturbation and pornography, when your carnality and your backbiting and your gossiping. See, God doesn't just bless half of you. The blessing of the Lord makes everything rich. Everything. It multiplies everything. Say everything. You put manure in a piece of land, the weeds will grow too. Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God that brought you out of the house of... Look at verse 15. Who led you through the wilderness, that great and terrible... God knows it's bad. And terrible wilderness. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water. Who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, the bread of life. The insight of the word, which your fathers knew not. Hello. Let me park here for a second. Which your fathers knew not. When God shows you things in the Bible generations before never saw. When God begins to speak in prophetic language that is restricted to our day. That he might humble you. What does he humble you? And that he might prove you. Say prove you. To do you good. Say to do you good. Where? Read the last phrase. Where will he do you good? Read your Bible. Where will he do you good? Where will he? Come on, talk to me, somebody. At what? Come on, from this side. At what? At your latter end. Let's park for a second. God takes Israel out of Egypt, but he says these guys think like Egypt too much. The Egyptians. Now they passed through the blood, they have their fire insurance, but they're Egyptians. And God says, I can't take an Egyptian into Canaan. So I have to prove you, humble you, test you, feed you with manna, change your diet. But every single time God tried to change their diet, notice they're asking God for the exact same thing they ate in Egypt. We want cucumber. We want garlic. We want onions. We want lettuce. We want fish. We want meat. We want chicken. God says, I'm giving you manna direct from heaven. I'm giving you what all the B'nai Elohims eat. Hello. Come on. I'm giving you the diet of direct sons of God. But every time I'm trying to change your diet, you want to go back to the same nonsense. Every time I'm trying to teach you how to eat healthy, you want to go back to KFC and McDonald's. Hello. 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 It's poison. Poison. It is killing you slowly. You live long enough eating that stuff, you will see. There's a reason why cancer didn't exist 100 years ago. Hello. Hello. Come on, somebody. Aha. Aha. Hello. Okay. Ask yourself, where do cancerous cells come from? Are they natural? Okay. Let's move along. I'm trying to change your thinking. And God kept testing them. Every time I bring you to a problem, what's your first reaction? Do you go, God, we're gonna die? God says, oh Lord. God's like, didn't you see what I did at the Red Sea? When you lack water the first time when I spoke. God's like, what do I need to do to change your thinking? God tells them, gather the whole of Israel. Exodus 18, 19. Come to the mountain. They hear one sound. They say, no, we don't want God. Moses, you go and speak to him. When he talks to you, come back down. No, we don't want none of that stuff. You know why? Because we need to Come on now, let me help you out. We need to stay sex-free for 3 days. Those are the requirements. Amen. Hello. It's a prophetic type. We need to stay sex-free from our wives for 3 days. We need to wash our garments. We need to purify ourselves so we can approach the mountain. And then we hear this horrible sounding voice. Whenever man is in flesh, the voice of God sounds scary. Hello. Like Adam in the garden, God used to come every single day, talk to him. But Adam falls into flesh and God comes and God says, Adam says, I was scared when I heard your voice. Flesh makes the voice of God scary. God tells them, he says, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. All of you, not some, all. I want to make every Israelite a direct accessor to the glory realm. But they kept messing up. Kept missing it. Hello. Kept missing it. And God says, see, there is something I have for you that I prepared for you. But I need to prepare you for it. And until I prepare you for it, I'm not bringing it your way. Hello. Because God has to move the Amorites out of Canaan. And God in his justice cannot justify moving out a carnal set of people to replace them with another carnal set of people. Now notice the entire generation of Israel, save for Joshua and Caleb, that came out of Egypt, didn't enter the promised land. What does the promised land signify? The third day, the seventh day of God's glory. Meaning, not all of them made the transition from Koriakon to Ecclesia. And thereby, not all of them were Christians. They were believers, but they were not Christians. Because a Christian is the new nature. A Christian is the one that has entered into the realm of the glory of Christ. Who has walked into the rest of the Lord. Come on, somebody. A Christian is the one who is not just in position, but in reality, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Urabasha. It's quiet. But I actually like this quietness. I'm cool with this one. Because this is not a shouting message. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual. Now, let me tell you the truth. Can I be honest with you? Every so once in a while, I will go deep from this pulpit. True? Every so once in a while, I'll just open some things. Go, wow, Peter, that's deep. You know this, right back the next week, I come back to the simple stuff. You know why? Because Paul says, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal. Even as unto babes, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are able. You need to mature to a place in Christ to handle some things. And only a father that hates you will drop stuff on you you're not ready for. Because it will place a demand on you for what you're not ready to give. It will judge you. Jesus tells the Pharisees, now your sin is greater because you know. Paul says in another place, he says, let us put aside these things. The simple things, the doctrines of this and that and laying hands. Let's put aside the foundation. Someone say the foundation. You know, I was talking to one of the pastors about 2 years ago. And he said, Pio, you know, every once in a while you preach something that gets me excited. But then 3 times out of 4, even though while my spirit is excited when you're preaching, even though while it's good food, but I just feel like there's more you're not dropping. And I said, yes, I can drop it. You know why? Because it will kill people. Now, this is the problem with the preacher, with the enlightened preacher. This is the problem with the sons of God. This is the problem with the firebrands. Everybody else around us is water. Hello. Everybody around you is a chicken, but you're an eagle. So what do? You fly on your own and leave all the chickens behind? Or do you keep clocking with them, hoping one day they themselves will grow beaks and wings? Because we must enter into some things together as a body of Christ. Hello. 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 It says, you are yet carnal. Where there is envying, say envying. but give me some strings. And strife and divisions. Are you not carnal? And walk as men. This is not gentle, sir. This is not gentle at all. Sir, this is not gentle at all. This is not gentle at all. I'm not in a gentle mood this morning. Amen. I came looking for a fight. While you are yet carnal, while there is, someone say envying, say strife, say divisions, say, are you not carnal and walk as men? While you say, this is my favorite pastor, that is my favorite pastor, this is the one I like, this is the one who, when they say something to me, I will listen to. This other pastor, we used to be friends before, how dare you talk to me like that? And pause. Pio is my pastor. Pastor Olumide is my only Pastor Olumide can talk to me. You, who are you? Come here. Who are you? You didn't greet me yesterday. You didn't say hi to me. You didn't buy me a card for my birthday. Did you buy me one for mine? Hello? I was sick. You didn't come and visit me. Did you tell me you were sick? Last time you missed church and I called you, weren't you offended that I called you? Now all of a sudden, now you're sick. Shut up! Okay, but say shut up. Say shut up. Say shut. Say shut up. Say shut up. Carnality. Moved by animal appetites. No different from another. No different from, I don't want to be insulted, but you get the point I'm trying to make. You feel something, you must do it. You feel something, you must. You can't keep your mouth shut. I don't want to hold malice, but you say things that cause malice. All your decisions based on carnal factors. What job do I take? Carnal. What city do I go to? Carnal. Who do I date? Carnal. Everything carnal. The Bible says you are an enmity with God. You cannot understand. You see, you will never ever in that state be able to move into the dimensions of the realms of revelation God wants to reveal. Psalm 82 verse 6. I have said unto you, you are gods and sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere men. The things that affect men will affect you. You fall sick like them. You'll be angry like them. You'll be broke like them. You'll be depressed like them. You'll be satanically afflicted like them till you. How do I get this into your head? You see, there is a realm, say a realm. There is an ascended realm, say ascended realm. The Bible says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? Notice it is a what? It is a hill. Someone say hill. It is a hill. What? I said strange, sir. Why is it a hill? It is a hill because it is meant to filter out those that are not ready to pay the price. It is against gravity. How do you climb hills? It's painful. Your bones are aching. You're sweating. You're stressed. You're building lactic acid in your body, your muscles, but you just, and people quit along the way. People say, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. You know what, God, you know what, this is not for me. Just disqualify yourself from glory. Disqualify yourself from glory. Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. The same thing is repeated in Luke 9:58. The word lay, kabaya sataba, in Greek is a word klino. It means transitively. Say transitively. Say transitively. It means progressively. It means not forever, in passing. To incline, to bow, to recline, to fall back. Hello. To be comfortable. Say comfortable. Say comfortable. Now the Bible says Jesus told two disciples, let me show you my house. He was not homeless, as some of us think. Amen. Jesus never slept on the road because he didn't have a house. There are many places in the Bible it says he woke up and left the house early in the morning. Or he took someone to his house. It was a metaphor. Say metaphor. He says the Son of Man doesn't have a place where his thinking is accepted. There's nobody he can relate to on his level. Everybody's carnal. He looks at Philip. He says, Philip, have you been with me so long? And do you not understand what I'm trying to say? Thomas, after 3.5 years with me, you're still so faithless? And I was discussing with someone recently who was telling me about a woman of God who in a season of frustration, like I went through recently, decided just to, you know what, to call off her mandate, her prophetic assignment. And this was her major frustration. After 3 years with you guys, you all still think on this level. There's a nation to take. There's kingdoms to overthrow. There are dimensions to enter. And we're still fighting over seats. After 3 years, please forget this. Allow me. They're still backbiting and backstabbing and looking for authority. And he said, she said, you still can't take rebuke after 3 years. After 3 years of babying you. After 3 years of smiling at you. Because your pastor frowns at you when you come late to church. You're offended. After 3 years. 3 years. 3 whole years. After 10 years as a Christian. You're offended because we preach about sin in church. Like the Israelites said about the presence of God. It's too deep. It's too deep. The glory is too strong. I don't like it here. Let's go somewhere where we can jump and dance and clap our hands. Amen. Revive is too spiritual. Let's go to one of those youth groups where we can go to the cinema and have raves. Go. Go. Somebody say go. Say bye-bye. See you later. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. Because we're not building for raves. Hello. We're not building for raves. We're not building for fun. Oh, we will have fun, but we're going somewhere. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Nowhere to be comfortable. Let me shock you. Final scripture. Can I shock you? Okay. How many of us have heard about the rapture before? Okay. Now, please, there is a physical rapture. Amen. There is a physical event. Someday some of us will disappear. I am not teaching against that. Please do not go and tell anybody Pastor Lumide said the rapture is only spiritual. No, it is very physical. There is an event. We will be caught up, the Bible says, in the air. Right? But come with me to 1 Chronicles or 1 Corinthians 15. Hello. 1 Corinthians 15. Corinthians is the textbook. 1 Corinthians and 2 against carnality. Go read it when you get home. Come, let's look at this together. Hello. Bible says in a moment. Someone say moment. In a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody say we shall be changed. Say we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Say changed. Say put on. Say changed. Say put on. Say changed. Say put on. Verse 51. I was reading verse 52 to you. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. Let's look at the word changed. In Greek, the word changed means this. And I'll close with this. It means alasso. To transform, to exchange one thing for another. Say exchange one thing for another. Okay. Let's look at the word changed. Sorry, that we just looked at that one. Sorry. Let's look at the word moment. 8:23 of chapter 50. What changed? It means atomos. It means indivisible. Someone say indivisible. Say indivisible. Say indivisible. In a microcosm. In immediately. Someone say immediately. Say immediately. Say in a space of time so small. See, don't take all that. It doesn't take you 40 years. Someone say it doesn't take all that. Say in a space of time. Say space of time. You know why somebody gets born again today and tomorrow? They're preaching with signs and wonders following. How people mature so quickly. Because it doesn't. See, we were taught that you had to grow old. and spend 10 years in church, then you would enter in. It's a lie from the pit of hell. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now let's look at the word twinkling. Abasha tabaya kosa of an eye. Maron de baika satalabasha. Ore mano siban dori bahande baishka da barabosa talaba. It's a word repay. It's a word repay. Say repay. Say repay. It means a throw, a stroke, a beat. It comes from a Greek root word, which means, come with me, to cast, to throw down, to cast forward or before, to set down. Someone say set down. To throw to the ground. Say throw to the ground. Say to cast down. Say to throw down. Say to set down. Say to throw to the ground. Now let's come to the word I, and I rest my case here. Are you following the principle? Have I lost you? Have I lost you? Talk to me. Have I lost you? Look at the word I. It's the word ophthalmos. It means the eye, metaphorically, the eyes of the mind. Look at me. Or the faculty of thinking. Say faculty of thinking. Say faculty of thinking. The Bible says we will exchange one nature for another when in a moment. So say moment. Not over 10 years. In a moment, in an atomos, when we throw down the faculty of our mind. You didn't get that. Let me break it down. The same way there is a physical rapture that will happen immediately and will be caught up in heaven, there is a spiritual rapture that is going on every single day in the lives of believers around the world. And we are all, those of us who qualify for this, in a moment, say a moment. It doesn't take 40 days. In a moment, the minute you discard your carnal thinking, the minute you lay down your fleshy imaginations, the minute you stop arguing foolishly with God and say, God, well, you just have to, I don't understand how a Christian can know what God requires of them. And we say, well, God, God has so much for you. God has a Bentley for you. You're holding on to your Beetle. God has a mansion for you because of the way you've been indoctrinated by your environment and what you've heard and been taught. You are holding on to your moped motorcycle, to your tricycle, to your bicycle. Stand up, everybody, with me this morning. Say twinkling of an eye. 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 Say throw down your faculty. Throw down your imagination. Throw down your carnal thinking. Come on, say it, somebody. Throw down your carnal thinking. Get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Get into the presence of God. And let the Bible say, let God cast down every imagination. Let Him destroy every stronghold. And let Him pull down every high thing. Let Him take into captivity every high thing. Every thought that exalts. Let him pull down every argument. Oh, open your mouth and begin to pray. For 30 seconds, we're going to go 30 seconds. Say, God, pull down every imagination. Every mind pattern that is not of you. Every carnal, logical, every didactic process of my mind. Recalibrate me. For there is a land for me. See, there are realms, there are realms, there are realms, there are realms, there are realms. Trust me, I've tasted some of them. I haven't been anywhere by any stretch of the imagination, but I've had a foretaste of some of them. And I've said, God, whatever it will cost me, whoever I have to lay down, whatever relationship, friendship, association, whatever hobby, whatever habit, whatever has to go, whatever I have to trade. Paul said, I press forward for the mark of the excellency or the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There is a realm of angels. There is a realm of men. But there is a realm of the divinity. There is a dimension where only gods are allowed. There is a place, a space in creation where only deity can ascend. There are conference rooms and council tables and committees that discuss certain things where you are only allowed a seat when you manifest as a god. When you manifest as deity, as divinity. There are, in my Father's house are many mansions. There are many rooms, many dimensions, many places. If you want to stay in Name It and Claim It, God bless you. If you want to stay in quiet time and Sunday school, happy for you. If you want to stay in church on a Sunday morning, three fast, two songs and a close, the Lord be with you. But I have decided, I have made up my mind, Marano Sikarabaha, that I will ascend the hill of the Lord. I will stand in his holy place. I will have clean lips and a pure heart. I will look like God. I will yield to my wilderness. I will become a Christian. I will become a Christian. I will become a Christian. I will yield to the process that God is taking me through. I will renew my mind. Then I can prove, I can demonstrate, I can also assess, I can look at, see, the reason why some of you are deceived by people because you have no discernment, and you have no discernment because your mind is so carnal. Discernment is not just spiritual. It's a thing of the deep recess of the mind. When your spirit takes a hold of God's mentality, it uploads itself to your mind. You might not know what's wrong, but you know something's wrong here. You're given a contract to sign for a business deal, and everything looks good, but something tells you, come on, something's wrong, something's wrong. All is not well. You go to a church and a man is preaching and he's laying hands and moving supposedly in the spirit, and he comes to lay hands on you. Something tells you, sorry sir, not me. You move your head away. Then you find out 1 year later the man's a homosexual, he's a child molester, he's a satanist and an occult practitioner, and your spirit says, aha, I knew it. But people have been in that church, Christians sit in churches like that for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, not understanding, because they are carnal. Because all they want is bless me, prosper me, lift me, be a money doubler, prophesy to me, tell me my name. They don't want to go on to perfection. See, by the grace of God, over the last 8 months of this year, I will teach you some things. Amen. We're going to open some scrolls. We're going to go into some dimensions, and you will be ready this time. So that when you leave church on a Sunday morning, you're not just ready not to live in sin, you're ready to control realms. You're ready. And you go back to your school, and Satan says, what's going on here? There's an ascended Heos. There's a Benai Elohim on campus. There's a Benai Elohim in the NHS. Your presence. Someone say presence. See, when you have some realms of insight into God, your very presence changes some things. Your very involvement in an atmosphere causes some reactions. You walk into a room and people who are not of God can't stand any longer. You don't need to lay hands anymore. Your very presence. See, thank God for McLean's. Take the keyboard down a bit. Thank God for McLean's. Thank God for, take the drums down. Thank God for Close Up and Sensodyne and all these other things. And I bless, and Mint, and I bless God that I believe, I think my breath smells fresh. But when I lay hands on you and I blow on you, I'm not just testing my breath. Hello. Hello. You know what I'm doing? I'm releasing a ruach that was birthed in Revelation. You try it. It won't work. The person will say, did you brush? When words fail me, when I'm tired, when my brain can't comprehend, when my prophetic channel is locked, there is a realm in my spirit because of some levels of insight with God. Hello, somebody. There is a realm in my spirit that holds keys my mind doesn't. And when I breathe in and I breathe out, what I'm doing, it's a covenant between me and God. What I'm doing is I'm handing over the situation I'm praying about onto that realm. Hello. It's an ascended realm. It's a non-carnal realm. And for it to work, I can't be working in my flesh. Hello. I'm literally tapping into the same life source that created the universe. Hello. I'm literally saying, God, I'm going to the root of the breath you breathed into Adam. The animated force of the Holy Spirit. Now that same breath exists inside you and you and you and you and everybody under the sound of my voice. But it is only unlocked in this dimension I'm talking about. Get out of your flesh. People talk about you, ignore them. People mistreat you, love them. Hug people who you know just abused you. Come to church many times, and many of you don't know that I've listened to your conversation. I've heard everything you said. I heard the complaint. But it's not false. It's not faked. You know why? Because I'm dead to your voice. Amen? And I know that you will grow up someday. Someday you will come out of your flesh too. And together we will press forward for that mark. We will get to that place. It is when we get there. See, when we manifest the image of God, then we can take into captivity. When our obedience, our submission. The Bible says, it was by suffering that Jesus learned obedience. It didn't mean he ever sinned. It meant his will became so aligned to the will of God by the things he went through. And when he got to that point, even the waves and the seas heard his voice. Even the stock market will hear your voice. Hollywood and Nollywood will hear your voice. The education system will hear your voice. Amen. The business world will hear your voice. Government will hear your voice. Because it will not just hear your voice. It will hear the voice of God in you. Lift up your hands. Father, I've spoken your word this morning. I preached it from the deepest part of me. If I spoke my imagination, discard. But if I spoke your heart, imperfectly but still your heart, then confirm it. In this season, Father, let this word, let this season mark an end to carnality. Let corpses rise that eagles can gather around. We cover ourselves in your blood and we release ourselves to your process. In the awesome name of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together for God.